for more Christmas than to be home. A home is a person holding us close. Home is that Christmas feeling.
Asleep. All right, what's there left to do? Dishes?
Already done.
You are an angel. So, did you have a Merry Christmas?
Are you kidding me? That was the best Christmas ever.
Really?
Babe, I had a smile on my face from the moment I woke up. I think I was more excited than the kids.
I know.
Honestly.
I was the same way.
Yeah. They like their presents, right?
Dana loves her playhouse. You weren't up too late building it, were you?
Oh, it was a breeze.
My family didn't ruin your day, did they?
No. I love that we hosted this year.
Mary, traffic was awful.
3 hours.
Whoa, you can't wait.
You sure?
Honestly, babe, they made my day.
Hey, Ray, is Cameron sick?
I can't believe your cousin made the drive.
I know. It was so nice to see him.
Yeah.
Why do I have to take it off?
It's my dinner table in front of my kids.
How about you, the hostess with the mostest, taking care of everybody? How do you do it?
I guess I was just full of Christmas cheer.
Well, I had a perfect day.
Me too.
I mean, this is going to sound corny, but I don't know if it was you and the kids.
You're not adopted. She's not adopted. Why would you tell her?
Or the family being here. But I definitely felt some Christmas magic today.
I absolutely love them.
Come on, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Best Christmas ever?
Best Christmas ever.
Yes, thank you. Yes. Have you ever had one of those? A best Christmas ever. For some, it's the gift that they received. For some, it's the gift they gave. For some, it just comes down to an experience they got to be a part of, which produced a sense of peace and well-being. But for a lot of us, that peace is elusive in a sense. Now, Isaiah, God inspired thousands of years to point to this peace that could be ours. The angels pronounced it, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, ponders it. But I hate to burst your bubble, but what an opposite experience many of us experience. Started with Thanksgiving, Christmas in a few days, and then wrapping it up all with a bow on the top, the promise of a new year. But we don't feel that peace. Some of us haven't had a great week. Some of it's the hustle and bustle, and some of it is the real heartbreaks, whatever it may be. And that peace just seems to be a little bit out of reach. And yet at the same time, we try to bring family and friends together under one roof. Some of us have people spending the night at our houses for a few days. And it's a recipe for conflict. It's a recipe for disaster in some cases. So as we talk about being home for the holidays and understanding that sometimes our holidays aren't so holy, they're not so great. And we have people showing up. We have even people sometimes showing up like this.
House sure does look swell, Clark.
Thanks, Eddie. I hope it enhances your holiday spirit. Dear Catherine. Eddie?
Oh, the house is gorgeous, Clark.
Eddie?
I hope you didn't do this all on our account, Clark. Kids, come on out here and see what Uncle Clark's done to the house.
Eddie?
Yeah, if you don't remember, this here is Rocky.
Have you got a kiss for me?
You better take a rain check on that, Art. He's got lip fungus ain't identified yet.
We were gonna call, but Eddie wanted to make it a surprise.
Yeah, you surprised? Surprised, Eddie?
We have plenty of room.
Plenty of towels. Plenty of everything.
We have plenty of room, plenty of everything. Yet we really wish we could say there was no room at the inn. Then there's those who show up at the house that just don't have proper etiquette. They don't know how to, let's say, get into your car when the weather hasn't been good. Wow, that's pretty violent, but you know what I'm saying? They just don't know what to do when they're getting in your car. Now, be afraid if you get into my car. Clean those feet off, no trash on the floor. So we've got all these things coming together. We've got all these different people, and yet we're trying to experience this idea of peace. And then there's the person that just kind of always just brings everything down.
Santa Claus!
Ho, 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 ho! I see one little girl who is not snuggled in a bed.
It's hard to sleep knowing that you're sharing your bed with thousands of hungry dust mites. Thanks, Hugh Downs.
You're a downer, Debbie Dee. You really are a heel. You can't avoid a story if it's sad or grim or gory, Debbie Downer.
Santa, we left you milk and cookies.
Oh, delicious.
I wouldn't drink unrefrigerated dairy if I were you.
Well, aren't you a sweet little girl? What's your name?
Debbie.
Why, that's a beautiful name.
I'm named after my father's sister. She's estranged.
Usually, when I come to houses, not a creature is stirring, not even a mouse.
You should check those houses for carbon monoxide. It's an odorless killer.
Oh, ho, ho. Well, I hadn't thought of that.
That's the thing. So few do.
You all know. Now, if you say, there's no one like that that comes to my house, I hate to say it, it might be you. Oh, no. But seriously, you know, we're coming home for the holidays. We're looking for that peace. We're looking for what has been built into us, this moment of settling, this moment of calm, this idea of shalom. We've talked about that in the beginning weeks. Solomon writes this, God has planted eternity, the idea of home, of the place of belonging in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Lighting the candle of peace, we saw just the process of starting from a broken world to someday having a whole world, a new heavens and a new earth. We've talked about that earlier. We've talked about the idea of Adam and Eve and the reason we need a baby in the manger. We need a lamb to be our sacrifice for our sins. We need all that. We talked about Cain taking the life of his brother and all that that has brought into our world. And so now as we live in this broken world, how do we look and lean into a peace that God has offered? Again, that baby born was for a reason. It's just not for Christmas time. If you had to take one experience out of the story of God, Christmas, yes, is great, but Easter and the resurrection is so much better. That's the power behind the story. That's why often at Christmas we sing Joy to the World. I've just taken a few words out of the lyrics out of the song. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Our heart needs to be prepared for him, giving him room so that we can have that peace start to creep into our lives. No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. And again, that points all the way back to Adam and Eve and the fall. And we talked about how there was only one rule, one directive, and they couldn't get that right. And we wonder and we think we could have gotten it right, but I'm not so sure about that. And wonders of his love and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. We have this journey, this walk from brokenness to peace, to that home, that ultimate home, when there's a new heavens and a new earth. And so we navigate, so we walk through this world. Jesus himself again said that he had gone to prepare a room, prepare a place. So no matter how you are feeling today, no matter how far that absence of peace feels from your heart because of what is happening on the outside, those of us who have said yes to Christ, those of us who are pondering saying yes to Christ, can realize that when we have a place of belonging. And the pieces slowly start to fall into place in this chapter of life, and then we cross over into the next chapter of life. Eternity, full access to God, sin is eradicated, selfishness is eradicated. We'll live in a new heavens and a new earth with none of that. That's the promise of the King. That's the singing we're singing about. Joy to the world. It's not just a good feeling. It's so much more than that. Jesus himself said there is only one way to the Father, to the home, to the place we belong, and that is through me, Jesus says. And that may seem very exclusive, and it is. It is very exclusive. And the reality is, if we had God, a Father, give the life of his Son, just because it was one way and there could be another way, that wouldn't be a very loving Father. How would you let one of your loved ones give his life for someone else if it didn't really matter, if it really didn't count? That wouldn't be a loving Father. So if that doesn't happen, it just all starts to break down. So the only way to the Father, the only way to true home, to that place of belonging, is through Christ. The significance of that baby to grow up and be able to offer his life for us, for our sin. We read in Psalm 73, and we've been, some of us in a men's group came across this in the last week or so, but I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. I've made Lord God my home. God, I'm telling the world what you do. And that's what we find in this moment in time. We're finding ourselves having these moments where we're in the presence of God. We're aware. Now, yes, God is always with us, but you know what I'm talking about if you've said yes to Christ, if you're relationship, there are these moments where you're just totally aware of God's presence. Sometimes it happens in a room like this. We're singing something. Sometimes it happens with a word in a message, in a song, whatever. Sometimes it happens when we're outside and we just see the beauty. All of a sudden we realize that we are aware that we are in God's presence. And that is so refreshing. That's one of the reasons we come on Sunday, is to be refreshed. Yes, we're here to point to God. We're to celebrate who he is, to lift his name up. To say he is going to be the center, that's what I'm looking for, that's what I'm trying to do. But hopefully there's a refreshment that comes from making God our resting place, our home, our sanctuary. Hopefully you've experienced that even in your own home. There are times where you go home and it's your sanctuary, it's your place. I know when I do premarital counseling and I share with a couple and we look at some Psalms and we look at some things about marriage. One of the things I talk about that is so beautiful to me personally is that when I'm at home, it's not a physical place, but when I'm at home and I'm with Cindy, it's sanctuary. It's a safe place. Doesn't mean I am careless. It doesn't mean I am sloppy with my words and not nice and all those kinds of things. But in a sense, I can let my hair down. I can be me, and that doesn't mean I'm faking it when I'm up here, but you know what I mean. You've got to be on. If you're at your job and you're working and you don't feel well, you've got to kind of go with the flow. But at home, you just are home. You can be vulnerable, and there's something about rest. You're not worried about attacks. There's something beautiful about being at home and being in a sense in a sanctuary. And so when we're in God and we get a taste of that, it just keeps, in a sense, whetting our appetites for what is to come. And if you and I have said yes to Christ and we're not whetting our appetites, no wonder we don't long for that day. That's not where our heart is at. So that's why we encourage you to, in a sense, whet your appetites. The book we talked about reading, one of the quotes in it says, Psalm 73 lives in the gap between the already and the not yet, the very place where all of us live. We live in the gap right now. We're looking for that day where we go home to be with him, where we are completely aware and there's nothing interfering with our connection with God. We get glimpses of what that looks like, but that's where we live. And so we have a hope that brings us peace even in our difficult circumstances. Even when we get people together that are difficult, even when things happen in life, there's that peace that we long for. And I'll do a little commercial because this was really heavy lifting these guys did. These guys this fall, here they are. What a handsome group of men. There's a couple missing. But we read, Do You Believe? It was 461 pages, heavy reading, and we read that together, and it just really touched our hearts. Since I'm doing this, I'm going to encourage you that our next book is this one. This is The Importance of Community Groups, Community Bible Study. It's to gather with others and to have your soul restored, refreshed. Next time, resilient, restoring your weary soul in these turbulent times. Just to be encouraged by that, and these are the parts of restoring our soul and receiving dosage of those of that peace together. Coming up in January, we're also having a men's breakfast, so just, wow, I'm on a roll now, and check that out, getting together, all guys welcome. It's a great time, just testing the waters to seeing if this is something you want to be a part of. And another part of the refreshment is this growth process. And the first of the year, our third book, Serve, will come online. So please reach out and join in that. If you've not been through anything like this before, jump in. If you haven't been, use it as a refresher course. I am totally encouraged by going through these concepts that I learned years and years ago. This all helps us, in a sense, kind of develop and whet our appetite for eternity, the home that is coming. Eternity home reminds us that this broken, groaning world will never deliver to us that paradise that our heart longs longs for. Watching the news this week, seeing that shooting and the Christians, it just is on and on and on, this broken world, and we want to have peace. Those angels sang about it. Isaiah and many others pointed to it. Mary pondered it as she starts to unpack what's going on, and we long for that. There's a promise is that after the end, God is going to give us a new home. And so we see everything will be in its proper place, doing perfectly what it was meant to do. It will be uninterrupted peace and harmony forever with God. We almost don't understand those concepts because we haven't experienced them. We get a glimpse of them. With God, everyone, and everything, the peace that was shattered in the garden will be restored forever, never to be broken again. That gives you peace. That gives you hope. That gives you something to lean into, not just bubblegum for your brain to make you feel good about something that's, you know, just kind of out there, Pollyanna kind of thing. No, something bedrock to invest your life in. Now, in your message guide, you're going to see Philippians 2, 3 through 11. We're not going to read through every verse here, but I encourage you to go back and open your Bibles. If you don't have a paper Bible, there's one right in the rack you can take as a gift from the church. And also, there's the online app that's free, the Bible app, YouVersion. Please take advantage of that. And I'd like you to read through Philippians 2, 3. It starts off with behavior. Actions about how to treat one another that brings peace into all these family gatherings, friend gatherings. But it also shows how Christ gave his life. He left heaven, pre-incarnate, came to be born a little baby and grow up and then give his life for us. And how he does that willingly so that we can have peace. You see, Jesus left home so we could be at home. Just fathom that for a little bit. Jesus left home so we could be at home. If we're supposed to be Christ followers, little Christ, like Christ, really, every time you and I leave home, we should do so somebody else can be at home. That's why we support missionaries, difference makers around the world. They leave home so somebody else can be home. When you leave your house and you go to your places of work, of school, when you're leaving home, are you leaving home so maybe you can give a glimpse of true home, of eternity in how you live? That's what that Philippians passage talks about. We are to follow God's lead. Leaving home. Now, what's hard for us is we're not at home with home. We're not at home with where we live. Saw that a little bit last week. We are just passing through. So we shouldn't feel totally at ease in this world. This isn't our home, we read in the Peters. This isn't our home. So when you and I feel totally satisfied in this world, something is off a little bit. Things aren't good. So not at home with home is actually the way it should feel if you've said yes to Christ. If you're pondering saying yes to Christ and what will that mean for your life, I'm going to tell you, you are not going to feel more at home in this world. Yes, you will have peace because of the promise of that future home. Yes, you'll have glimpses of that peace now as you walk with God, as God walks with you, as you're aware of his presence. But it's not going to settle everything. It's actually going to cause you to be a little bit more unsettled. You should expect it. You should feel like a little bit of a low-grade fever because of the things going on in our world because this isn't our home. It's broken. You were made for a perfect home, for a place that is unbroken. And so you start your journey with Christ by saying yes to him, accepting his forgiveness of your selfishness, your sins. You believe he rose again. You place your weight of your life in that truth, and you start living, and you enjoy his presence. The Spirit joins your life. He connects with you in a real intimate way, and The more you open your heart to him, the more he leads. The more you shut him out, the more he won't lead. He doesn't force himself on you. Sometimes I wished he forced himself more. Yes, sometimes he yanks your chain, gets your attention, but he does not force. He knocks from the outside. He wants to be a part of our lives more and more. So again, this idea of not being home with home here as it is, that is normal. And sometimes, you know, we wish there was some way to get all that mess out of our lives or out of what's going on. And sometimes we have to process through the idea that home with hurts from the past. We're not at home here because we've got hurts. Things have torn us up. We're still walking with a limp. We all have stories. I'm constantly reminded that we all have stories. You start to peel back the layers of our lives, peel back the layers of our family, and you find none of us have come through scot-free. There's these things that have happened, whether it's generational, whether it's whatever, and we just have these hurts from the past, and those don't disappear. Some of those hurts make us who we are. They actually make us more ready to lead others, to not be at home so someone else could be home. When you've experienced some of these things, gotten through them, rather than feeling, hey, I've made it, I feel a little self-righteous, even though you identify that God helped you and you look down at others. No, you come in and you lean down and give them a helping hand. So these hurts from the past can be morphed and changed to be a helping hand. We read, I remember my afflictions and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. There are some hurts that we never get totally over. The scars are still there. You're a human being. You feel it. There were times where Jesus wept. He felt it. So you have those, and that's a part of the journey. That's what makes the future home, the next chapter of life, so appealing, because we know that that will be all resolved in that new heavens, in that new earth, in that new chapter of life. We also have trouble in the presence. There are things that are just tearing our heart out, even in this moment today. We may have our Christmas sweater on, our tree up at the house, and we've got Christmas music going on and all this kind of stuff, and we're wrapping presents or whatever you're doing to get things ready, thinking about the trip, thinking about the dinner, and yet there's trouble. There's hard things. There's things that weigh you down. And that's, again, because you weren't made for this world. None of us were made for this world. God gave us the room to make our own choices. We really wouldn't have it any other way. We want to be free. We celebrate freedom. Yet, there's positive things with our choices and negative things with our choices. Then there's the things that are imposed upon us that we, in a sense, have no control. They happen to us. But our response then is in our court, if you will. So we have home with trouble. We read this, as I sank in despair, my spirit ebbing away, you know how I'm feeling. Know the danger I'm in, the traps hidden in my path. Look right, look left, there's not a soul who cares what happens. I'm up against it with no exit, bereaved and left alone. That's a legitimate feeling. People feel that way. You may be feeling that way right now. And it's our right to identify that. You don't pack it down and pretend it doesn't exist. It's our right to express trouble. It's our right to cry out to the Lord and say, I am hurting. The presence, it stinks this week. It stinks this year. It's been hard. It seems like I don't get a break, or even sometimes it's not even what's happening in your life. You see somebody else, and they're not getting a break, and you just hurt for them. They haven't, like, asked for it. Sometimes, you know, we do things and it, you know, we do the wrong thing and it's a consequence of our action. We see these people that just, you know, close to our hearts and it just keeps going. And we go, oh, we cry out for them. And so that's trouble, but this is not our home. Jesus came so that we wouldn't be stuck here. He came with the future. So again, we live with an eye to the future. We realize that today does affect the future in the sense of not that we earn our way to God, but we want to please Him. We want to leverage the life that we have. That's why in your bulletin, in your program, you have that invite card. Leverage that. Invite somebody onto one of the services on Christmas Eve. Invite somebody to watch online. Maybe join them at their house or invite them over your house and watch it if they don't feel comfortable to come to church. But use these opportunities to point to Christ because you want them, you want to leave your home or invite somebody into your home so that they can have the promise of that future home. So the idea of home with concern about the process. Sometimes the process really seems to stink. No one likes to go through the hard times to bulk up spiritually or to get the tools in their tool belt to be able to help others or to help themselves. But sometimes the process is just really, really hard. Even Jesus identified with that when he said, Jesus began to be deeply distressed. This isn't when he's a little baby. This is when he's a grown man and knows that he's about to give his life up in a horrible way. He says, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He just feels the heaviness. He knows the process is going to be hard because this isn't his home. He's here so we can go home to be with him. We read in Psalms, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Living in the tension of that. Downcast, but my hope is in God. Downcast, but my hope is in God. Downcast, but I have the peace. I know it's there. I've gotten glimpses of it. But it's heavy in my soul, so I continue to remind myself. Again, that refreshment of gathering together to remind yourself that you're not alone. There are other Christ followers. There are other people that have been where you are. There are other people that remember when they said yes to Christ. Not all of us, none of us were born Christ followers. There was a process. And for some of us, we had to hit rock bottom before we opened our heart to Christ. And if you're in that place, you haven't opened your heart to Christ, I'd say, don't wait till you hit rock bottom. Do it now. Start today. Again, I said, it's not that everything's going to become rosy, but at least you can own that peace. That peace is promised to you. You can experience more moments of it and more moments of it, and it can become yours. It can become yours. So how do we look to the future? We look at this idea of being at home with home. We know we're not home here, but we're looking towards that day when we will be at home, with home. So we understand God's faithfulness of the past. We see how God has ordered our steps. I have a friend who came to Christ in his early 40s, and he remembered the guy who owned the little corner store. And they would go in there to get candy and such like that, and that guy was a Christ follower, and he'd speak words of encouragement and promise into my friend as a 10-year-old and was planting seeds. And then 30 years later, he says yes to Christ. And then a few years later, he remembered that shopkeeper, and he actually sought him out and thanked him for being faithful to those boys in the area. He used to play street pickup ball with, like baseball and those kinds of things, just trying to do that kind of things as the corner store owner, operator. And it made a difference. And so my friend can go back and go, wow, you were faithful in my past. Some of us can say, wow, you were faithful in my past for generations, my parents, my grandparents, somebody else. There's been a faithfulness in our past, and that helps us settle into that peace. If God has brought you this far, he's not going to stop. If Christ, God sent his son to die on the cross for us, born in a little manger, he's not done. He's not going to, not finish what he started. He's going to complete it. I will never forget this awful time. As I grieve over my loss, yet I still dare to hope, for I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is thy faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Every day is new. We look to the past and we realize that it builds upon that. And we can build our life on how God has worked in the past. Then obviously then the same as last is the present. Home with God's present. Home with what God is doing now. That he's present in our lives. Leaning into that rather than leaning away from that. He is the bedrock, the firm foundation on which I stand, the castle in which I live, my rescuing knight, the high crag where I run for dear life. While he lays my enemies low, I wonder why you care, God. Why do you bother with us at all? Isn't it nice to think that God bothers with us? That we're really not a bother to him? That he is present in the moment? Do we slow down and experience that? Do we slow down and digest that no matter what we're doing, God's presence in the present? And that's why, again, this baby was born, so that we could experience it, so we could be homeward on the journey in a home that doesn't sit right, doesn't feel right, with the promise of a home where we're going to fit perfectly, belong perfectly, be totally vulnerable. There'll be no sense of being vulnerable because we'll just be. And God promises us that. Home with God's promise for the process. So now all of a sudden we look at this process and we go, wow, I'm in this journey building steps, not again to earn our love, to climb our way to God. God has climbed his way to us. But this process does something in our hearts. It gives us experiences. It gives us opportunities. And we don't know how those are going to show up in the second chapter of life, in the new heavens of the earth. But we've got scripture all over the place. Paul talks about running the race well, finishing well. Why? Because it has some ripple effects into the future, into heaven, into that new heavens and new earth. And so we trust that. And we delight in that. We realize that no tear is wasted that we experience. No heartache is wasted. No service for the Lord is done in vain. It means something. We may not put all the pieces together, but it means something. We talked about this a few months ago and how people can twist a passage to mean something else. But this Jeremiah passage that says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you've hoped for. A lot of translations say plans to prosper you. And if you remember, that idea of prosper was really the idea of peace, shalom. I have plans to shalom you. I have plans to give you peace. And in the context of this, this was returning to Israel, their promised land. In the context for us, it's going to the promised land. It's going to that future eternal home where we'll have that ultimate peace. And that peace will not be a peace of not doing anything, of just settling into your lazy boy chair and going, oh, you know, like a whatever. No, it's going to be, there's going to be something that we're doing. It's going to be a restored idea of the way it was before it all got started when Adam and Eve were perfectly in sync with God and just ordering, enjoying everything of that garden, whatever that looks like. We know it's going to be wonderful. He has that promise for us. So as we look at Jeremiah, it envelops those kinds of ideas. C.S. Lewis says this about our journey. If you read history, you'll find that Christians who did the most for the present world were those who thought most of the next. It's since Christians who have largely ceased to think of the other world, the other home, that they become so ineffective in this home. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. The icing on the cake is our experience here, but the cake and the substance of life is that eternal home. We talked earlier about seek first the kingdom of God and he'll take care of all the other things. This idea of this process. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place your heart will most want to be and end up being. And when we think of our Savior, we think of Jesus already existing in heaven, leaving his home so we could go home. And we think of that, where was his treasure? His treasure was on planet Earth. So he came to planet Earth because that's where his treasure was. So he could have a process so that we could be right with God and spend eternity with him. We have to ask ourselves, where is our treasure? Where is our heart? Because there's where our treasure is. What are we aiming for? What's our goal? It doesn't mean we don't engage in life. We've talked about this on and on again, that God wants us to experience humanity, live, and enjoy what he gives us in life. But do we worship the gifts he gives or the gift giver? When I give a gift to the grandkids, I don't want them to worship their truck. I want them to appreciate me and see that I love them so much that I gave them one of these trucks that makes all these kinds of noises, and then I send it to their house. Keep putting new batteries in it when I find the battery's been taken out. But that's a reflection of my heart. I don't want them to be in love with their toy plastic truck. I want them to be in love with me. I have no problem giving them gifts. Likewise, God wants to give us gifts. He wants us to enjoy them, but he wants us to remember the source of them. Again, Jesus came to the planet. He left heaven. That's the good place. That's the place we all want to go. He left there to come for us. Unbelievable. No wonder we sing joy to the world. So, we can be at home, at peace with God. We can have that start in the here and now and just grow. Just grow. Many times I find myself at the side of a bed of a person that's getting ready to go home. And they can't wait to go home. They are at peace. It may hurt, but they can't wait to be home. And there's no fear. They are welcoming. I remember having a friend who is very old. And she would always say, I don't know why the good Lord keeps me around. You know, she was ready. She's ready to go home. See, we can have peace. We get glimpses of it. We experience. We lean into it. And we can live out of that peace, out of that relationship with God. Glory to God in the highest in heaven, on earth. Peace to those whom his favor rests, who he's pleased with. For there is peace and a good hope given to men and women. And I don't say this, I say this because you're missing out. Not to slap your hand, but you're missing out. Are you living in that peace? Are you experiencing more of that peace now than you did a year ago? Are you living in that peace? You're missing out. Lean into that. You can enjoy that, for there's a peace, a good hope given to men and women. They just have to pick it up. Accept it. We have been made right with God because of our faith, because of trusting. So we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, why that baby was born. Sometimes it seems like we overuse John 3:16. I used it yesterday at a graveside service. Boy, it was the coldest one I've ever been at, but there was a warmth as those people gathered and celebrated. a sister who had gone home to be with the Lord. We read this and it kind of just glazes over. God so loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so whoever believes, trusts in him, may not be lost. Anyone can have a whole and lasting life. Again, whole, starting now, lasting life, eternal life. It just crosses over into the next chapter. But verse 17 gives me a lot of strength. Don't remember many quoting verse 17 when I was growing up. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. One heart at a time. That's the beauty of belonging to a local church, as God puts our hearts one at a time right, and we gather together right, we can have an influence in this world. We can be out and about so others might get a glimpse of what true home is, of that eternity that Solomon wrote about. You can also be at home, peace with yourself. This doesn't mean you're self-satisfied. It doesn't mean you're self-righteous. But some of us live in this turmoil. Some of us still are wrestling with things in our past that we regret. But we can be at peace with those. There may still be consequences, but we can be at peace with those things. If you make yourself at home with me, this is Jesus. This is saying in his world, leaning into him with me and my words at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. I love you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourself at home in my love, comfortable in my love. If you keep my commands, you will reign intimately at home in my love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. And that joy is not a fleeting happiness. That joy is that peace, that understanding, that shalom, that knows that you belong. Very quickly, some of us are familiar with the shepherds, and we realize that the shepherds felt unloved, they felt unworthy, and they felt inadequate. And if you're honest with yourself, we've all felt those three things, probably more. Yet, the shepherds were included. The announcement went to them first. They weren't unloved. They weren't unworthy. They weren't inadequate. And neither are you. No matter how long you've followed Christ, no matter if you're thinking about following Christ, you are loved. You are worthy. God says you're worthy. And through his love, through his gift, you're adequate. Psalm 143 says this: if you wake me up each morning with the sound of your loving voice, I'll go to sleep each night trusting in you. Point out the road I must travel. I'm all ears before you. That sounds like a soul at peace. Wake me up in the morning with your loving voice. Help me to remember your love for me. I'll go to sleep resting in you. Those are where my thoughts go. Direct me. Show me the roads I will travel. I'll get it wrong every once in a while. I'll take a left when I should have taken a right. But I'll get right back on. When I hear that little thing repositioning, you know, your GPS goes recalculating. I'm saying that to the Lord. I'm recalculating. I'm all ears, all eyes before you. This idea is peace to rest. Peace to trust. And peace to go on. It's all there for us. So when you think of your life, and you think of all the pieces of your life, and you go, wow, I do not feel at home. I do not feel that shalom. I do not feel that peace. realize that when your home, your soul is in pieces, that God offers you a home of peace. When home is in pieces, God offers a home of peace. Start today. Place your trust in him. Ask him into your life. And if you've already asked him into your life, continue to walk with him. Wake up in the morning knowing his love. Follow him through your day. And you'll find that that candle that was lit today, those verses that are around here, aren't just nice little verses of a nice little story, but they're actually the reality, the heartbeat of your life. And you'll experience more and more of that real piece of substance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, we do ask that you would help us to wake in the morning aware of your loving voice. Father, are there some mornings I don't even think of that? I roll out of bed and I'm in a state of panic. I need to do something. Something's happening. Help us to slow down and know that. Even if we have to roll out of bed quickly, help us to hear your loving voice even in that moment. Help us to be able to trust you. Help us to be able to rest in you and to go on with you. We want to be all ears and all eyes before you. We thank you for the peace we can experience even in all this craziness. We thank you the promise of a future home where peace will just be normal. We look forward to that day. If there's anyone, Father, that needs to talk with someone this morning, I ask that you would give them the courage to talk to one of the people up front that are praying, myself, anyone else, and get some of this settled, at least be on the road to experiencing more peace because of you. We ask all of this in Jesus' wonderful name.